Hello, and welcome to this new series of podcasts brought to you by the publishers of Medical Economics. We are excited to expand this new medium for our message that adopting smarter business tactics frees you to concentrate on delivering better patient care. Support for this program comes from McNeil Pediatrics, division of Ortho McNeil Janssen Pharmaceuticals, Incorporated. Your host for today's event is Sandy Hayes Flynn, who will be speaking with our featured guest, Dr. Brian Primack, about applying the principles of social marketing to patient education. Dr. Primack is an assistant professor of medicine and pediatrics at the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine. He is an expert in patient education and has received numerous awards and honors for his work in this area. In addition, Dr. Primack's work has been published in various medical journals, the New York Times, U.S. News and World Report, and the Washington Post. Now here are Sandy and Dr. Primack.
Dr. Primack, welcome to the program. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
As a quick review, could you start out by briefly outlining some of the problems with patient education?
Well, data from the Institute of Medicine show that about half of Americans don't understand even basic health education information, and that this education gap translates into more hospitalizations, more morbidity, and much higher healthcare costs.
So, in other words, it's a real problem. Why is patient education so difficult?
That's a good question, and I think that the answer is multifaceted. One thing is that we don't have much time, and it often takes time to really make sure that someone understands instructions. Another is that there is simply not much training in medical schools regarding how to educate patients. It is a huge part of our job, but during medical school, we are so busy learning about the spleen, the thyroid, and the fibula that we don't have as much time to learn how to communicate. That is not to say that the spleen, thyroid, and fibula are not important. It is just to say, what good are we? If we can diagnose a condition, draw up a perfect treatment plan, compute the ideal dose of a medication, only to have that treatment plan not go into effect.
So are there solutions out there?
Absolutely. There are a lot of things we can do. Take, for example, the Ask Me Three Questions, in which patients are encouraged to ask three questions at their office visit. What is my main problem? What do I need to do? And why is it important that I do this? Doctors can encourage this conversation and make sure the questions are answered. Also, we can have our patients teach back instructions, and we can slow down when communicating with patients. However, today I'd like to focus on a creative and fun approach that I think is also helpful, and that approach involves learning lessons from marketing.
That does sound interesting, because really, even though health education is so important, the message often doesn't get across, but the messages people see in advertisements or on television to eat at Joe's or buy more shoes often come through loud and clear.
Exactly. Now, I'm not saying that we need to become advertisers and make our own television commercials, but there is a paradigm called social marketing that involves using the tools of commercial marketing for pro-social gain, like improved healthcare. And learning these basic principles is easy, quick, and I believe they can change your practice.
Sounds great. After a quick break from our sponsor, McNeil Pediatrics, we'll talk about social marketing and how it can be applied to patient education.
This podcast brought to you by Concerta360.com. We are pleased to bring you information to help you and your practice succeed every day. For more useful information like this and to view full prescribing information, including the boxed warning, please visit www.concerta360.com.
Before the break, we briefly mentioned social marketing. What are the components of social marketing?
Similar to commercial marketing, social marketing is based on the 5 P's paradigm. These 5 P's are product, person, place, price, and promotion. Product reminds us to be positive. People don't want to hear over and over again what not to do. So what are you recommending? It helps you realize that there is a difference, for example, between telling someone don't smoke and telling someone to pursue the freedom of a smoke-free lifestyle. If nothing else, it helps us be positive and avoid falling into the trap of finger-wagging at our patients. Next is the concept of person, where you have a specific target audience. Marketers do this all the time. Tobacco companies make one brand of cigarettes to market to women and another for men. But unfortunately, we usually have more of a one-size-fits-all approach. We say the same thing to everyone who smokes. By thinking clearly about the target audience, though, we can be much more effective.
It sounds difficult, though, to have to come up with something different for each and every patient.
Yes, in a way, it is more challenging than just saying the same thing to every diabetic patient that comes in or every smoker who comes in. However, in other ways, it is more fun and becomes much easier over time. It becomes a puzzle to think about things like, who is this person? What motivates them? What do they really care about? And then to craft your response, keeping those answers in mind. And not only is compliance better, but I find that the overall doctor-patient relationship is better as well.
Now, what was the next P in the paradigm? Was it place?
Yes, and what this means is for you to think carefully about where your patient will be when he or she is following your advice. We tend to think of our patient as just a person who exists only in our exam room. Well, the truth is that they don't wear that gown all day, and the more we can think about where they will actually be when they're following our instructions, the more we can improve those instructions.
Can you give an example of how you do this?
Absolutely. Recently, I had a patient who had plantar fasciitis. I knew he was likely to respond to some simple stretches that I taught him. But as we talked, I got the sense that he really did not know where or when he would integrate them into his routine.